Buenas noches.
Good evening. Let me tell you first of all that I'm moved. Because this is the first time that on an international stage I can tell you more about the International Resistance Museum for Salvador Allende. It's a museum which is based on the donations of artists of the time, and we have tried to establish and re-establish this network of collaboration of artists and curators all over the world, and it's extremely interesting to look at what we do and carry out our research and investigations together. Having said this, we are talking about canons, we are talking about Latin America, and I will talk about Chile, which is, so to speak, an island in Latin America. The Museo de la Solidaridad was founded in the 1970s. It was established by a government. It was part of a utopia, which was then destroyed by a dictatorship and the politics carried out by Washington. I would like to thank the institution for having invited me and for offering me the platform so that I can tell you more about the MSSA. We need to see that there are three levels, so to speak: arts, politics, and solidarity. This goes for the museum you have just heard about, but also for the Museo de la Solidaridad in Chile. We have to see that the MSSA was part of a particular political and historical context, which was, so to speak, the founding elements with respect to its overall approach. The idea was to establish a political museum in the broadest sense of the word. It was also meant to show a rather complex path with respect to intellectual relations, political and artistic relations. The concept as such was based on an act of solidarity, and it was a completely new approach carried out by the most important artists of the time. It referred to Chile and to the fact that in November 1970, Salvador Allende, the candidate of the Unidad Popular, had become the president of the country. He was the first ever socialist elected to this position. Thus, what happened in Chile was rather different from what happened in other Latin American countries, where a number of military dictatorships originated, right-wing political movements, or where there was the left-wing political experience of Cuba. And all this happened in a world which was divided into two political blocks, led by the United States on the one hand and the Soviet Union on the other hand. The Cuban Revolution in Latin America of 1959 had marked a change on the map of international relations. In Chile, it was a democratic process in which the president was elected, a socialist president, and yet he was elected. So with the government of Salvador Allende, there was a new focus for the left in Latin America, which again was divided into two political blocks. There was one axis, the Havana-Lima axis, where you had a number of countries in the Andes region, including Chile. And on the other hand, the Washington-Brasilia axis, where you found, among others, the Brazilian dictatorships and also the right-wing governments of Bolivia, Paraguay, and Uruguay. Now, there was the new Chilean way towards socialism as a new trend in this prism. And this is the background we have to bear in mind when looking at the museum, which came into being because of the support and solidarity of a number of artists and intellectuals in the world. There are also a number of events which need to be mentioned in the time in which the museum was established. For example, in March 1971, when Operación Verdad took place, Operation Truth, which was a meeting of intellectuals and journalists and artists invited to Chile by President Allende so that they would see immediately and directly, without any other intervention, the transformation undertaken by the government. In this context, the critic, the art critic, José María Moreno Galván, and the Italian senator and writer Carlo Levi suggested the idea of collecting works of art donated by European art circles in order to establish a museum for the people of Chile. This was meant to be an act of solidarity of the artists who supported the Unidad Popular. The next step was then the establishment of an executive committee and the nomination or appointment of the president of this committee, Mario Pedrosa, a Brazilian art critic and the organizer of the Biennials of Sao Paulo in 1953 and 1961. This is Mario Pedrosa. And in addition to these gentlemen I just mentioned, there were a number of others who helped with the establishment of the museum, and the CSAC, an association, an international committee of solidarity of artists with Chile. Members were, for example, Carlo Levi and José María Moreno Galván, Rafael Valverde, Louis Aragon, Dory Ashton, Jean Lemarie, Giulio Carlo Argan, Edward de Wilde, Ronald Penrose, Harald Zeman, the then director, artistic director of Documenta 5, Aldo Pellegrini, and Mariano Rodriguez. The idea was thus to establish a museum, and Mario Pedrosa wrote that it was important to have a number of participants to set up a museum on the basis of international solidarity. And Pedrosa describes in detail the processes I've just mentioned, so the setting up of the executive committee, the CSAC, and the general approach with respect to art and the curatorship. A number of artists were invited to participate. Also, in order to make sure that different trends and approaches and ideas would be represented. I haven't brought any artists here in person, but I've brought you a video so that you hear from firsthand what it was like in the time. Dora Ashton.
Of the committee for this museum. I, of course, live in New York City and was designated the United States representative of the International Committee. And I immediately got in touch with those artists that I felt were really significant and would bring prestige to your museum here. And as I wrote to Mario, they weren't always that enthusiastic to give something away, a good one. And I wouldn't accept minor things. I always made sure I saw what it was. So much of what's here today in this Museo de Soledad that I sent was of high quality. I was careful about that. The International Committee, which was very distinguished, Mario chose very well. And as you know, Mario Pedroza was highly regarded by everyone for many reasons. So the International Committee were all major figures, like the director of the Museum of Modern Art in Paris and so on. And I was the North American representative. My personal interests would, of course, have guided my requests, but I also bore in mind that this was, as Mario made very clear, it was to be non-sectarian that day. My personal prejudices mustn't enter, and I tried very hard to do that. On the other hand, the artists that we regarded in the United States as major artists were almost all abstract artists. So I did choose abstract artists that you have hanging here today. I'd say on the whole, most of the painters and sculptors that I knew very little about Allende and the Revolution. And they weren't that enthusiastic about donating, giving free a work of art to a museum in Chile. So I confess, I put pressure on them. As I said, I twisted their arm. And it was a little hard for them to say no to me because I was, at the time, a quite well-known so-called art critic. And it wasn't good to make me an enemy. So it was a very delicate project. Oh, for me, it was a great accomplishment that I was very grateful to Mario Pedroza for including me and for being part of the first ever museum of abstract art or art that was difficult for El Pueblo, that he would, as Mario Pedroza always said, if you, and he proved it, I think, from what I read, that I believe the first exhibition of the works that we gathered for this museum was for the copper miners in the north. And in my experience since then too, if you approach working class people who know nothing about abstract art and so on, in the right way, it's nothing difficult, they accept it. But usually it's not approached, certainly not in my country that way. Most of the artists that I sent were in sympathy with the idea of a free museum for everyone, which would show what we call progressive art. In other words, art that most of the working class would find difficult. But if you present it, if you respect, our view was, if you're very respectful to the workers and make them welcome and don't charge them a fee to come in, they usually are quite cooperative. They want to learn. That was my experience. And that, I was told, was true here, right? What is my impression about the Museo de Soledad now, looking back? Well, it's still the only unfortunately, still the only example of a museum which is made by and for the people, and amongst whom I include artists. And so in a way it's unique, which is good for you, but not good for the world, because we meant it to be a prototype, and that they would be all over the world. There would be Museo de Solidaridad, and that the artists would no longer be a captive of the capitalist system and of those merchants, the art dealers, and of the wealthy people that bought them. And in my experience anyway, most painters and sculptors, and also people who do larger things like Alfredo Harr, do not want to be captive to the capitalist system. They really are not that happy to be hanging in very rich men's houses, and they would rather be in a museum like this, which is for everyone. But it, as far as I know, this is still unique, right?
Bueno, parte de la conferencia fue Dor, que está ya más viejita, ya.
Now, this was recorded some time ago. She's quite old. She's even older now. But it's an interesting description of what happened. It is, in fact, difficult to get these testimonials, because many of those who supported the establishment of the museum are very old today or have died already. And 4 years ago, we tried to collect a number of testimonials for a conference. Now, the International Committee wanted to see the museum as a new cultural model, something to overcome the traditional concept of a museum. And in a declaration, they said, the members of the International Committee said, the museum should belong to the state, to the government, but yet it should be autonomous. It would be an inseparable whole thing and a permanent space of exhibitions. Thus, the approach was again a bit different from the Nicaraguan approach. The idea was also to not only establish an artistic institution, but something which would be based on a political, ideological idea or ideal, something which would try and find new cultural models, a living museum, a dynamic institution, something to serve the people of Chile. And under these precepts, the Museum of Solidarity wanted to be the most important museum of modern and experimental art in Latin America, representing a particular historical phase and something to live on into the future, growing on the basis of new donations. And it wanted to dedicate its activities to two sides: modern art and Latin American art. There were a number of countries, so to speak, involved in the museum: Argentina, Brazil, Cuba, Spain, the United States, France, Holland, England, Italy, Poland, Switzerland, and Uruguay. And of course, the question is, what happened to the works which were to be donated or which were to be shown in the museum during the coup d'etat? Now, a number of works were caught at the customs stations, for example. Others stayed in the embassies, were then taken up by museums of art in the countries themselves, and then eventually given to the Museo de la Solidaridad, which was to be reestablished after the end of the coup d'état or the dictatorship. So back to the roots, so to speak, in the beginning, Pedrosa and the members of the CSAC made a call so that works of art would be sent to Chile, and these works arrived. And in April 1972, the first pieces were there, coming from France, Spain, and Mexico, for example, including, for example, a work by Jean Miró, who had painted for the Chilean government a major oil painting showing the rooster of victory. We also have a work by Sol Levit or Alexander Calder, Torres Garcia, Roberto Mata, and others. Today, the Museo de la Solidaridad, initially, the Museo de la Solidaridad had about 650 works of very different types and genres, and, as I said, artists. Also more experimental art works, like, for example, by Lydia Clark or Antonio Diaz or Arnulf Reiner. 650 works in 1972, representing a major diversity coming from the countries I mentioned. And at the opening, Mario Pedrosa spoke, and this was a great honor, of course, President Allende too. And I would like to quote him here in front of this audience also to honor him. He said, "The artists of the world have known how to interpret this profound sense of style of Chile in a combat for national liberation." And this is a gesture, a unique gesture in a cultural trajectory, a decided, a spontaneous, an important one. Pedrosa established a committee, and in October, '72, invited also Harald Seemann, the then curator of Documenta 5. Seemann accepted the invitation and also with the full weight of his position as the curator of the Documenta, invited more artists to donate works. But then the coup d'etat happened. Of course, we do have a number of letters in the archives of the museum, invitations to artists, answers of artists, and we know that lots of works were sent, and not all reached the country on time before the military coup. Because as you know, the military coup happened on 11th September 1973. Members of the committee tried, of course, to rescue as much as possible of the works. Some works stayed in the countries before they were sent to Chile. Others were kept by members of the committee and others in their houses in order to protect them from the seizure of the dictatorship. It took some time before it was possible to get all these works back and incorporate them into the inventory of the museum. This also happened to a number of the works Harald Zeman had solicited. There were, for example, 6 works which were to be sent to Chile, which have disappeared. Of course, we are studying what happened to these works, but we are also studying what happened to the part of the museum which was focusing on resistance, i.e. to what happened after the coup d'etat and was meant as acts of solidarity and resistance. Now, after the coup d'etat, some of the founding members of the museum went to Europe, many of them to Paris. The president of the committee himself went to Mexico, Pedrosa, that is. And in the course of the events, the works which had been in the country already were seized by the dictatorship. The idea was, however, to protect and safeguard all these works in order to then eventually set up the museum once Chile would be democratized again. In the years of the dictatorship, in exile, of course, the idea of the museum remained a living one. And at the end of the year 1975, the museum was, so to speak, re-established under the name of International Museum, International Resistance Museum for Salvador Allende, Museo Internacional de la Resistencia Salvador Allende. Furthermore, it was the idea of solidarity which was to be used in order to continue working on a museum of solidarity in Paris, in particular, for example, where a new general secretariat was established, because many of the founders of the museum had gone to Paris, as I said, Pedrosa, Balmes, Rojas, Miras and others. And there was also an executive coordinator appointed, Miria Contreras, in Cuba at the Casa de las Americas in Havana. And a number of solidarity or supporting committees were established in a number of countries, including Colombia, Cuba, United States, Spain, France, Italy, Mexico, Panama, Switzerland, and Venezuela. It was political and intellectual support, and more works were donated in this time. All in all, more than 1,300. And all the works which were donated in this period were donated with the agreement of the artists, who said that they would bring their collections and works to Chile once democracy would reign there again. And I would like to show you a video in order to give you an idea of what happened in those years. And you also see pictures from the exhibition of the time. This is a museum in exile, meaning that a dictatorship was established and artists and intellectuals had to go abroad in order to keep working. The story is, however, even more dramatic in the case of this museum. The idea was suggested by Salvador Allende. He wanted to found it in Santiago. It was to be called Museo de la Solidaridad. This could not happen because of the coup. However, Works of art had been donated by artists from all over the world. These works were kept by the junta. No one knows where they are today. But people from Chile and Latin America, the exiles, organized resistance against the military dictatorship. They had the idea of establishing the museum abroad, and this is what we call it, a museum in exile. It will be a traveling museum today in Nancy, tomorrow in Berlin, then on to Avignon. We'll try to bring it to as many places as possible. The museum includes works by Chilean artists. But international artists are present too. It's a beautiful and generous presence. Well-known artists dedicated works to the museum in order to accompany the cultural resistance of the Chilean people. What you can see in Nancy right now is but one part of it. There are many refugees, many of them artists and intellectuals, who are members of different cultural movements, Argentinians, Chileans, Uruguayans, Paraguayans, Brazilians, Bolivians. Just one example, there are more than 20,000 Uruguayans in Barcelona, all of them exiles in one city alone. You may well imagine, allegedly, 80,000 Argentinians live in France. Well, possible. 5 or 6 years ago, they started a fascist campaign, manipulated from the inside and the outside. And you know the results. The Chilean drama is better known, but more and more citizens in France realize now what happens to my country, Argentina, where each day we see more violence, torture, and where intellectuals are murdered and journalists who oppose the regime disappear, and where terror and despair rule. As long as the Chilean people in exile keeps up its courage, its power, and its hope by building this museum and in numerous cultural, political activities in Europe, there is hope, however.
Un peuple en exil, comme c'est le cas du peuple chilien, garde tout son courage, toute sa force.
As long as there is courage, as long as there is hope, life will go on. By building this museum and in numerous cultural and political activities in Europe, there is hope. I strongly believe that the fascist regimes in South America will fall. They will be destroyed by the people. And I don't mean the exiles. I mean the people who stayed in conjunction with those who had to leave. Because I hope and I'm convinced that there will be international solidarity too.
Bueno, se crean comités.
In Colombia, Cuba, Finland, France, Panama, Mexico, and Switzerland, local committees were founded. And of course, we know that lots of other activities went on. So we are not only investigating these local committees, but also other groups that support it. Here you see an example of Jan Rabascal. It's an artist from Catalunya. And you see the description of the work he donated and what happened to this work as far as we know. I would also like to show you pictures because the museum and the supporters also organized a number of political events and activities in order to stabilize the solidarity and in order to not lose the support of the artists and all those who wanted to give support in these political events. Here you see, for example, François Mitterrand, 1974, and a cultural event in Avignon also in 1974. We also tried to collect interviews with the artists who were involved and who could tell us more about the activities of the time. There were activities, for example, in the field of street arts, for example, in Venice, at the occasion of the biennial theater performances, music and murals. And Balmes, Mata, and other artists were invited to perform or to offer works of art. I'm showing you these pictures in order to give you an idea of all the activities that went on in this time. When the Central Committee was established, more exhibitions were organized, and then after 1991, also a number of exhibitions were mounted and sent to different countries. And in Paris, for example, there was a monastery where a number of works had been collected, or Carmen War, for example, was involved in the activities of trying and tracing the works that had not been sent to Chile before. She, by the way, became the first director of the Museo de la Solidaridad Salvador Allende, and she remained its director from 1991 to 2005. She used to be the coordinator of the Spanish Museum of Resistance, and one of the most important Latin American galleries in Spain. We also had works by Sulash Dorami and she's an artist from Poland, Fostel, had donated a work which had meant to be shown at the Documenta, for example. So you see a number of works which had been given to the Museum of Resistance. And of course, here to be seen in the work of Panto Rojo, a reference to the Vietnam War. And we also have a collection of Palestinian art in the MSSA. And that's all I wanted to tell you. Thank you very much for listening.
Thank you.